Today's daf is Samach Zayin. We're going to start at the Mishnah, at the third line of Samach Zayin. Hamocher tachatzir. Today, again, we're going to have a number of examples of if you buy something without specifying exactly what you're buying, what does it include? We're going to have all different cases, and we're going to have a lot of items that are unclear what exactly they are, because it was based on the reality of those days, so it's going to be quite confusing. Not only for us, but it was confusing for the Rishonim, who all have different interpretations of almost every single term. So bear with it. Hamocher tachatzir. So if you sell a courtyard, okay, the beginning part is a little easier. The later part of today is going to have a lot of technical terms that people are going to be confused about. Hamocher tachatzir, I sell you my courtyard. What's included in selling you my courtyard? Machar batim, borot, shichin, u'ma'arot. So it includes the house, the borot, the wells or pits, the shichim, the cisterns, and caves. Kind of, I don't know, they don't exactly mean caves here, but...
It says vaults, I would assume storage.
Vaults, storage, right. Storage areas, maybe underground or... Avaloat hametaltalin, okay? Things that are built in. If I say my courtyard, it includes anything that's in my courtyard that's built in, but not anything that's portable. Bizman shamar lo hu v'choma shebetocho, harei kulam b'churim. But if he specified, I'm selling you my chatzer and everything in it, that it includes all the items that are in it. Bein kach u'bein kach, but either which way, even if he specifies, kol ma shebetocho, lo machar lo at hamerchatz v'lo at beit habad shebetocha. The assumption is if you had a beit hamerchatz or a beit habad, right, so a bathhouse or an olive press, inside your chatzer, that would not be included, because the assumption is that that's something that other people use, or right, I guess that's right.
Communal.
It's also, they assume, right, so it sounds like they're communal things, and also they're things that are assumed that when you say chatzer, it doesn't generally include the bathhouse. The chatzer includes living, right? These are things that were not meant for living purposes also. So the assumption is that this is not what would be included in the term chatzer. Rav Eliezer Omer, Hamocher tachatzir, lo machar ela avira shel chatzir. So comes Rav Eliezer again, and he disagrees, and he says, when you say chatzir, you mean only the courtyard, not the house, not anything else, not the bor, not the shichim, ma'arot, anything else built into the chatzir is not included. You just mean, it doesn't really mean airspace, it means the land, right? Just the land of the chatzir, and not any items that are in it. Which is similar to, right, if you saw the house, it doesn't include the bor. So here also you could see that it might also, even the chatzir wouldn't necessarily include the bor, even though it would be more likely a chatzir would include the bor. And that's why Tanakhama says it does, because it's out, right, the house is the house, and the chatzir is outside, but the bor is in the chatzir. But still, there's a machloket about it. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, the Gemara starts bringing another braita. Hamocher tachatzir, machar batim achitzoniim, ubatim apnimiim, ubeit achusaot. Okay, so if you sell a chatzer, it includes the inner houses and the outer houses. Okay, remember we've talked about a chatzer, how there could be, right, a chatzer could be a bunch of houses open to the same common chatzer. Okay, these all open into the chatzer. It could also be a chatzer where there's an inner house and there's an outer house. Okay, so if you sell the chatzer, and it includes the house, according to the Mishnah, according to this Braita also, it's going to include even the inner houses and the outer houses. Ubeit achusaot. Okay, bit of a, here we start already with things. What exactly is this? Some people say it's an area that they would mine for sand. Okay, it was an area that they would mine for sand that they would use to create glass. Some people say it's a glass house. House made of glass, which seems quite odd, right? That they have made houses out of glass. There's a bunch of different interpretations of what this is. The assumption is, though, that this would be included in the sale of a chatzer. Chanuyot ptuchot l'tochan nimkarot ima. If you have stores that open up into the chatzer, and you sold the chatzer, so just like it includes the houses, it would also include the stores. V'she'em ptuchot l'tochan ein nimkarot ima. And houses that maybe you're in the chatzer, but their exit, right, let's say you have a house in the corner of the chatzer, a store in the corner of the chatzer, and the door to the store is in Rashid Arabim. and the back of the store backs on into the chatzer, then obviously that's not included in the chatzer because there's no entranceway to the store through the chatzer.
But if you've sold it and it's got that doorway, then it does?
So first, the first thing was, if it's p'tuchot l'tocha, if there's no door here and there's a door there, then it's going to be part of the chatzer. The door goes into the chatzer. And now we're going to have, what if it has two doors? Okay? So now, p'tuchot l'kan u'l'kan, elu va'elu nimkarot ima. Okay, or really it should be hare elu nimkarot ima. There's a change in the girsa here, which makes more sense, because it's not elu va'elu, it's not two stores. Okay, so now they're saying, if it's p'tuchot l'kan u'l'kan, there's two entrances, then hare elu nimkarot ima. Since there's an entrance through the chatzer, even though there's also an entrance through Rosh Harabim, it's sold with it. Rabbi Le'ezer omer, ha-mocher ta-chatzer, lo machar ela milusa shel chatzer. Okay, he says, if you the chatzer, a sale of a chatzer only includes the open space in the chatzer, again, like he says in our Mishnah. Amar mar, p'tuchot l'kan u'l'kan yimkarot ima, the Braita says, if it's open, we said, two entrances, right? One from the chatzer, one from Rashid Arabim. It's sold together with the chatzer. V'hatani Rabbi Chia, einim kerotima. But Rabbi Chia said in the Braita, it's not sold together with the chatzer if it has two entrances. Now again, what could you answer to this? Two different approaches among the Tana'im. It's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara has a better answer. Or lo kasha, ha derov tashmishtayu lego, ha derov tashmishtayu levar. If there's a back entrance that, let's say, the workers use, right? You've seen many stores, restaurants often have this, where they have a front entrance and a back entrance, right? Like in Burger's Bar or, you know, in that area there, there's a parking lot in the back and you can go through the back and you can also go through the front. But only really the workers use the back exit, or just very few people use it. So if very few people use the exit into the chatzer, then we're going to say that they don't have, it's not sold together with the chatzer. But if most of the use entranceway to the store is through the chatzer, then it's going to be included. Now, this obviously, you have to imagine, a store that has an entrance to Rosh Harabim and an entrance to the chatzer is most likely going to have most of its traffic through Rosh Harabim, because it doesn't make any sense that people walk through the chatzer to get into the store. So it's a bit of a bizarre answer. That's why I think to suggest that maybe really there's just two different approaches might be a stronger answer.
Unless it's a store that caters to the people who live in the chatzer.
Right, it could be. But how many people live in the... It doesn't make sense so much to have a store that would just cater to the people in the chatzer. It's unlikely. Okay? But you could be right. You could be saying it's a very small type of store and... the whole point of the store. But then again, why would it have an exit to Rosh Harabim? It's quite odd to think about. That if a store already had an exit to Rosh Harabim, you would think that would increase traffic into it.
Because I would always think that the stores would be very small, smaller than we're used to. It would be like a one-room storehouse that would have like everything that anybody would, you know, how big would it really be?
Right. I'm sure it might be a small store, but still, it would more likely service more people than we should ever be. Rabbi Lezer Omer, ha-mocher ta-chatzer lo machar ela abira shal chatzer. Amar Rava, okay, this girsa, shinuye girsa out here. Every time it says Rava, it's going to really be Rava with an aleph, who lived a generation, he was in the next generation. Amar Rava, ida amar le dirta, it, now we're going to have difference in lashon, okay, and then we're going to have different versions of which lashon works and which one doesn't. If you say I'm selling you my dirta, okay, which sounds like dira, right, where I live, my living space. So you're selling the chatzir, but you say the word dirta. If you say I'm selling you my dirta, then everyone agrees that you're obviously talking about also including your house. Even Rabbi Le'eser. Ki pligi da'amar le darta. If you use the word darta, which is more synonymous with courtyard rather than living space, then mar savar tarbitza mashma umar savar bate mashma. So then Rabbi Le'eser will say it sounds like just the chatzir, and Chachamim hold that it includes the house, because darta, if you're going to use the word darta instead of chatzera, darta comes from lador, to live. So therefore, if even if you're using the, not the right, the word dirta, now obviously you have to know the language and the differences in whether you say dirta and dirta, which you'll see, even to us it sounds, to us it for sure is unfamiliar with these terms, but you'll see the fact that there's an ikka d'amri and a second way of reading this, clearly even to the Gemara it was already not so clear what they meant here. Ikka d'amri, some people say, Amar Rava, that this is what Rava said. Ida amar le darta, the second option in the first case, right? If he says darta, which is synonymous with chatzer, but since it includes the word dira in it, it's using the word dira, then the shoresh dira, the root, de kule amar lo pligi de bate mashma. Ki pligi de amar le chatzer. And the machloket is dafka when he says the word chatzer, but if he uses a word that's synonymous with chatzer, but is using the shoresh, the root of dira, then it's going to include the houses. But when they say chatzir, then there's the machloket. Mar savar chatzir avira mashma. Rabbi Lezer will hold the chatzir is just the airspace. Umar savar ke chatzir hamishkan. Okay, the other one says, no, it's like the chatzir hamishkan, which included all of the space, all of the items. Before we go on, I just want to stress again that this is exactly what we struggle with in many, many sugyas in Shas, which is always just, what do we mean when you use a certain term? What does it mean? And what's included by that term? So, okay. The Amar Rav Nachman. Okay, Rav now says in the name of Rav Nachman, Machar lo chusit umitzula. Okay, so some of the Mefreshim say chusit is the sand field that we were talking about, that they would make glass from it. Okay, some people say it's where they make the glass, I think, and some people say it's, you know, where they would get the glass. And a mitzula. Okay, let's say I sell. Now we're getting into a different topic. Okay, this is different. Why is it connected? First of all, Rava said it. And second of all, it has to do with this chusot. We talked about the Beit Chusot. So if I say I'm selling you my chusit and my mitzula, okay? The mitzula is a fish pond. I think there's two interpretations of what a mitzula.
It's also a hatch.
Right. Some people say, right, similar to a sand field where they're going to mine for sand, that it's a pond where they would look for gold and silver. Now, what if? Okay, the question is, are these items karka or metaltalin? If they're karka, then what do we say? If you do a chazaka on one, remember, you can acquire other lands based on acquiring that one. Remember we learned that? That if I sell you 10 fields, we're going to see it in a minute. If I sell you 10 fields and I make a chazaka on one of them, right? I go in and I change the locks, let's say, or something, you know, I change something there. I do some act of chazaka. What happens? I get all the fields. All the fields are acquired to me. Remember, what happened? You said you're going to sell it to me. I go do a kinyan chazaka. I now acquire all the lands. I don't have to do it on all 10 lands, all 10 fields, even if they're not even near each other. So
can't you throw metaltalin in there too?
You could also throw metaltalin in there. Yes. You can also, you can buy, it's called agav, a kinyan metaltalin agav karka. So, what does he say? If you sell a chusit and a mitzula, hechzik bechusit lo kana mitzula. If you're machzik in the sand field, you don't acquire this pond, whatever kind of pond it is, for fishing or for mining gold and silver. Hechzik bemitzula, right? The strength of saying a mitzula is a fish pond is that that's the general, when we say a mitzula in the Gemara, generally it's a fish pond. The strength of saying it's a gold or silver mine, is that, or a pond for mining gold and silver, is that it matches, it's parallel with the chusit, right? Hechzik b'metzula lo kana chusit. Okay? If you're machzik in one of them, you're not acquiring the other one. So the Gemara says, Ini, really? V'hamar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say, Machar lo eser sadot be'eser medinot, kevan shechzik b'achat mehem kana. Kana kulan. Right? Didn't we say that we're kona all of them? So shouldn't you say the sand field is a field and the pond and those are karka? They're not metaltalin, they don't move. They should be treated exactly the same as the eser sadop, eser medino. So now what's the answer? Hatamhu desana da'ar chadhu v'kula chada tashmishtehu aval hacha hatashmishta lechud v'hatashmishta lechud. So the Gemara gives two things that make the land unique, and then they say that it's an interesting setup. It says here, when it comes to land, this is an interesting theory. Okay, you have to wonder about what their view of the world was. All of the land of the world is all one. Okay, whether they didn't understand that there were continents, okay, where the land was separated, or maybe despite the fact that there's continents, somehow you can view all the land of the world as one continuum, and therefore, or maybe their assumption was if you're selling 10 fields in Esther, you know, you weren't talking about cross continents, it's possible. But anyway, the tfisa is that sadna da'ar chadhu, all the fields are viewed as one continuum, so therefore, by selling one and acquiring one, you can acquire all of them. And additionally, kula chada tashmishtahu, their use is the same. Okay? Baval hacha hatashmishta lechud v'hatashmishta lechud. But this pond and this sand field are used for totally different purposes. And even though they don't say it, but they can't be viewed as one continuum. Okay. So therefore, you can't do it. V'ikadam, right? Some people say that, okay, so what did we have? We had the first statement of Rava, and then we had a different version of it. Now we have a second statement of Rava about whether you can acquire the chusit and the mitzvah together, which you can't, according to him. Now we're going to say that really what Rava said was the opposite. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, hichzik bechusit kana mitzvah. We're at the very top of Amud Bet. So now he says, if you're machzik bechusit, then you acquire the mitzvah. You do get it. Okay, the opposite of our last sugya. And then the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't this obvious? Dehamar Shmuel, machalo eser sadot bechule. Instead of saying, what do you mean, what Shmuel said contradicts what he said, he said, no, no, no. Since he now says the opposite of what we thought he said originally, now they're saying, well, it's totally obvious. Why does Rava need to be machadesh this if Shmuel already said that machalo eser sadot, he gets all of them? So now they're going to say, Mau de tema, well, maybe you will say, Hatamu de sadna de arachadhu, avalhacha, hatashmish to the chu, vatashmish to the chu, kamashmanan. So now they're saying you might have thought that since all the land is viewed as one continuum and they're used for the same purpose, that might be true for the sadok, but not for this chusit and mitzula, kamashmanan. Therefore, Rebbe needs to tell you that it's true for this also, even though these have two totally different uses and they're not viewed as one continuum in the world. Still, you can acquire, if you acquire one, you acquire the other. Okay. So, now we're moving on to the Beit Havad. We're going to have someone who sells an olive press. What parts of the olive press does he sell? Now, I'm not going to give you all the interpretations of everything, but there's, I would say, for some of these words, there's possibly five different interpretations as to what type, what part of the Beit Havad they're talking about. Very likely that olive presses I wouldn't say very likely. It's obvious that olive presses, even in the same generation and certainly throughout generations, changed in terms of what they looked like and what the pieces were, and therefore also, I assume, it affected the interpretations of what the rabbis are saying. And I think also, parshanut-wise, we'll see soon, also things that seem to affect why they think certain things are certain things. The Beit Havad is an olive press? Yeah, the Beit Havad is an olive press. Okay. The Shanstein has a little picture. You can look at it. It's fairly simple, and it's not the only way olive presses look, so just be aware. There's a picture in the Koran, which I was disappointed is not so clear what it looks like. I tried to Google it and find something good, but I didn't find anything. It was a particularly good picture of an olive press. But obviously, also, it's because all the olive presses look somewhat different, so therefore, to figure out what exactly all these parts are is quite complicated. So I'll try to give you a little bit of, you know, and some of them I'll give you one interpretation, some maybe I'll bring a few more. Okay. Hamochir Beit Havad. If someone says, I'm selling you my olive press, so the obvious question is going to be, which parts of the olive press are included? Machar et hayam, ve'et hamamal, ve'et habetulot. Okay, sounds like a weird, right? What yam is there in an olive press? What virgins are there in an olive press? And what on earth is a mamal? Okay? So, what?
Extra virgin olive oil. I don't know why.
Extra virgin olive. That's interesting. Think about that. Okay. We'll get to it in a minute. Maybe it is connected to that. I wonder. It doesn't, certainly not with the interpretation they go with, I don't think. I don't know what extra virgin olive oil means, why it's, what exactly makes it extra virgin.
It's taking they take the best of the best.
Uh-huh.
Like they take, they crush it, and then there's some good stuff, and they take that.
Uh-huh.
Then they crush some more, and they take some of that, but then the
it's the purest. Yeah. Right. So the word that they use to describe this doesn't have anything to do with the, you know, getting at the pure, the purest. Aval lo machar et avirim ve'et ha-galgal ve'et ha-korah. Okay, tof. We don't know what any of these are except for possibly the korah, which is a beam, right? Which the beam, there's usually a beam in the olive press. We'll talk about it soon. Other than that, none of these words are really clear at all. And they're not even clear in the Gemara, so I'm going to hold off until we get to the Gemara because the Gemara is going to bring words which... As always, when the Gemara describes a word that we don't, that, you know, they didn't know what it was in the Mishnah, so they describe in the Gemara what it is, and we don't usually know what the Gemara's word of description is. So that's where the confusion is going to come in. So according to this, let's just get the facts, even though we don't understand them yet. You're going to, it's going to include the Yam, the Mamal, the Petulo, but it's not going to include the Avirim, the Galgal, and the Korah. Ubizman shamar lo hu v'chom asher b'tocho, hare kulam b'churin, just like the previous Mishnah and the one before that, right? If he says the olive press with all of everything that's part of it, then everything is included. Rabbi Lezer omer, ha-mocher b'etabad, machar et ha-korah. He disagrees. Interestingly here, he adds more, right? Last time he added less. He said the chatzir is just the chatzir, just the airspace. Here he says the korah is the main part because that's the part that crushes the olives. It's this beam that comes down. I'll already give away one of them, right? It's this beam that comes down and crushes the olives. Okay, here in the Koran, although it's not the way they describe, I'm sorry, in the Shansi, it's not the way they described in the Koran, there was a screw at the top that would help rotate this korah. You can see the beam at the bottom. There's one solid beam that's attached to this screw, and you would turn it, you would, you know, use this pull to kind of turn the screw, and it would press the korah down onto the olive. So that's the main part of it. So how could you say that selling an olive press doesn't include the main part? Okay, so he disagrees with Tanakama.
Does he mean that the other things are also included, or just that?
No, I think that's the only one he disagrees with, I would assume. Otherwise, he would have said. Okay. Yam. What is the yam? Talfecha, or talafcha, I think it's pronounced. Talafcha. Now, what's talafcha? Talafcha is a lentil, okay? So if yam wasn't so clear, lentil is also really not clear. The assumption is, what's unique about a lentil? It's round, so it's obviously some round part of the olive press. Now, what facts do the rabbis use when they try to figure out what these things are? So they have the fact that it's a round, and what else? It's included, according to, right? It's included in the sale. So it's probably something that's attached to the ground. Right, because that's what we've been going with the house, right? All the things are attached to the ground. So therefore, it must be something attached to the ground. So here, the main approach, again, there's a whole bunch of different ones. I'm going to just stick with the main one here, is that it's the round part. You can see it in the picture here, or I'll show you in the Koran also, the round part at the bottom of the olive press, which was in the ground, right? That would basically, it's the bottom part that would hold, it's actually the part, it's hard to tell from this picture, but it was the part that would hold the olives, okay, that was attached to the ground. Mamal, here's funny. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. Okay, maybe he knew what it was because his father's name was Mamal. I don't know. Mifrachta. Okay, first of all, the root parach is to break. Okay? The assumption is if you ever picked olives, what you do, the first thing you do is you crush the olives with a stone. So some people say that what it's talking about here is the crushing of the olives before you even put it into the olive press. Okay, that's one of the interpretations here. It was some utensil that they used to crush and mash the olives, and I would assume also that it would be attached to the ground, because again, otherwise, why would this be included? Rabbeinu Hanano says it's a hollowed out stone, which the olives are placed, okay? Which is similar to the first interpretation of the yam. It could be, it's talking about two different types of batei abad. You know, one had a yam, one had a mamo. You know, it could be two different things. Again, unclear exactly what all these things are. Bitulot, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, klunsaot shel eres shemamidim bahem et ha-korah. Okay, this, it seems that the beam would be in between. You can see in the Shanstein there's these two beams that stand on the side, that also are obviously attached to the ground, and to that is attached this thing, the inside that the beam, the korah, is attached to that. So these two wooden boards, I would say. Avirim kivshe. Okay, this is
planks on top of
words. What?
It's the planks that are on top of the olive.
Ah, right. So now the olive press, we were pressed down with this korah, but if you press down with the korah on the olives, it would only get the olives that are right underneath it, and it wouldn't be even. So what did they do? Underneath that beam, they put a whole bunch of beams going in the other direction on top of all the olives, so that when you press down on the beam, the pressure would be even on all the olives underneath. So there, so now we're talking about what's not included, right? The avirim are not included because those are portable. Those aren't part of the main part of the olive press. Okay, galgal chumrata. Okay, here again, many different interpretations. Okay, in the... one says it's this round stone that they would put on top of the beam to weigh it down. Okay, that's one interpretation. There was a different interpretation that says that it's the screw that they use to write the one that you see in the Schottenstein picture. The screw that would go down onto the, that would lower the korah. Okay, which if you notice then all these last three things, the avirim, the galgal, and the korah, first of all, now that's funny, they say korah is korah, the beam. Okay, I don't know why they bothered to tell you that, but I guess they just want to keep going in the order. Those three things have to do with the pressing part itself, right? With the beam, the screw, let's say, or the stone that would go on the beam, and the beams that would go under the beam, okay? So, or the boards that would go under the beam. So all those are not included according to Tanakama, and again, the korah would be included according to Rabbi Eliezer, which we'll see soon. Tana Rabbanan. Hamochir Beit Habad. Now it's going to get confusing because now we're going to bring another Braita. And if you assume that the Braita agrees with the Mishnah, which a bunch of the Mefarshim assume, that it doesn't disagree with it, then they're going to interpret each of these terms to not contradict the Mishnah. Okay? Like, I'll just give you an example. One of the things in here, okay, so let's start. Hamochir Beit Habad. What I want to show before I start is that there's two different ways to go about this. One way is to say maybe this braita has a different approach, okay, which seems reasonable. And that way you can say that even though the words seem the same, but the halacha seems the opposite, you can assume they mean the same thing. If you have the approach that this braita doesn't contradict and have a whole different approach, then you have to take words that seem to have appeared above and said the opposite, you'll have to say, oh, that means something else. And then it won't contradict. Okay, so... Hamochir Beit Habad machar et hanisarim ve'et hayikavim ve'et hamifrachot ve'et harechayim hatachtonot, aval lo et ha'aliona. Okay, so let's try to go through these things. So it includes the nisarim. Now the nisarim sound like wooden boards, which in the Mishnah were not included in the sale, and here they are included in the sale. And therefore, they say that the boards are boards that are fixed in the ground to hold the olives in place so the olives don't start falling out. So there's some boards that they would put around the whole thing and they would be in the ground as opposed to the boards that you put underneath the korah to help the pressure. Right? Otherwise, you could say that the nisarim are what we saw earlier and this is just a different approach. Okay, the yikavim are the crushers, okay, which they would use to crush the olives before they would press them. Which we kind of said before, right? But well, before we were talking about the mortar, what it sat in. And here maybe we're talking about the pestle part where they would press it with that. The etam mifrachot. Now the mifrachot sound like above, right? We had mafrachta, right? So the mifrachot are the... Oh, sorry. I actually got it confused. The yikavim are the vats where they would collect the oil. Sorry. The oil would drip down into vats. So they say that the mifrachot, yikavim are the vats, and the mifrachot are where they would crush the olives, like we saw before. That's where they would crush the olives before. Sorry. It is the part in the ground. It's my confusion. It's the mortar part. It's the part where they had a different, right? And as the Beit Habad had the first stage, before you got to the Beit Habad, you would use this mifrachot, right, to crush the olives. So that would be included if you sell the Beit Habad. Ve'et harechayim hatachtoniot. And the bottom part of the rechayim. Some people say that here we're talking about a whole different type of olive press, because who had rechayim in the olive press? We weren't talking about rechayim in the olive press, right? A type of millstone. Some people say that there were other types of bateba that were made using a millstone, and that that's what they're talking about here. And again, it would be the tachtoniot, but not the elyonah, exactly. Like we saw earlier, because, right, we saw a few days ago also, because the bottom is in place, attached to the ground, and the top is movable. Ubizman shamarlo huvachom asher betocho, hare kulam chuin. Right? So again, these distinctions are only if you say, I'm selling you the Beit HaBa. But as soon as you distinguish and say, explain and say everything that's in it, everything will be sold. But ben kach uben kach, again, we're going to have something that seems to contradict our Mishnah. Lo machar lo et avirim, which we already said, the avirim, remember? The avirim were the, I can't get this all straight in my head to remember by heart. The avirim were the pressers. Those were the wooden boards that they would use. Okay? So, lo et avirim, those wooden boards aren't included. So again, you could say this braita contradicts our Mishnah. Alternatively, some people say that the avirim here are something else, okay? And their interpretation is, let me recall, that the avirim are, there it doesn't say, 1 second. If you don't want this to contradict, then you'd have to say the avirim are, right, that's what it is. There are some achronim that say that they try to prove from something the Rashbam says that he doesn't have this girsa at all. That the words lo et avirim doesn't appear in the braita. That's a mistake. Okay, and that's a possible suggestion. Not that it means something different, because you can't say it means something different. However, you could say, you know, they don't have the girsa that says those words, because those words are hard to understand. Unless, of course, you say the braita just disagrees. Velo et hasakin, velo et hamartzufin. Here are two terms we haven't seen yet. These are baths. First of all, it makes sense not to have the avirim here because it doesn't really go with the other two things, right? One of these things is not like the other, right? The avirim is used in the crushing part. The bags, these are two different kinds of bags. One is leather, one is, you know, canvas or some other material. So the bags are what you use to carry the olives. So then, you know, or to, then obviously those are not included. Those are already much more portable than the actual parts of the Beit HaBad. Rabbi Lezer Omer, HaMachir Beit HaBad, Machar Ta Korah. Now we're going to hear his opinion. Shelo Nikra Beit HaBad, El Al Shum Korah. There's all these other parts, maybe you could do with that if you were really simple and basic. What would you have? You'd have the bottom piece and the board that would smash down on the olive. So you can't have an olive press without that. So to have someone say, I'm selling you my olive press and I'm not selling you the board, it might be movable, but the movable should have absolutely nothing to do with anything here. The question is, what is included when you say Beit HaBad? So he would say the basics are included, and that's the basics. Okay, so therefore would have to be included.
I would also think that the boards would be custom fit for that hole.
Right, that's also true. It would be custom made, or, you know, it would definitely be fit to size for that, right? So it makes sense that you would sell it with him. Hamocher et, the Gimel, I assume it's Beit HaMerchatz? Yeah. Amocher et Beit HaMerchatz. If you're selling a bathhouse to someone, you say, I'm selling you my bathhouse. So now again, we're going to get into what are you selling, and again, we're going to get into what exactly are all these terms. Lo machar et hanisarim. Okay, these are the boards they would put on the floor that would help warm the floor, I believe, right? Rashbam says, shenanim al gabei karka merchatz, v'omdim, right, it's that they would heat the floors. Okay, you know how people now have heating in the floors? So apparently, it's not such a new thing. In the batei merchatz, they would heat the floors, but they would have like real heat in the floors, so you had to cover the floor, otherwise people would burn their, according to the Rashbam anyway, people would burn their feet on the floors, shelo yichvu raglehem michom hakarka. Okay, or he suggests, inami, shelo yitanfu raglehem. Okay, maybe also so that their feet don't get dirty. Okay, so now these boards were just metaltalin, and therefore they're not included in the sale of the merchatz. The etasvalin, okay, these are like pails that people would use to wash their bodies with. Okay, the eta, okay, these are not balaniot, the people, okay, right, the balaniot like in the mikvah, but eta bilaniot. Okay, bilaniot, again, different interpretations. Some will say that there are types of curtains. okay, if I remember correctly, let me just double check. The bilaniot are, right, the curtains, okay? Right, in the Koran, they give the language. They say it comes from the Greek word belos, which means threshold. Some say it comes from comes from the balani. The balan is someone who carries all the accessories. So it's like accessories that go with the bathhouse. Bizman sha'amar lo hi v'choma shebetocha. If you say what I'm including, it and everything inside of it, harei kulam mechuri. Then everything's sold except for ben kach u'ben kach, right? Just like all the other ones. Either which way, whether you say it includes or doesn't include everything, lo machar lo et ha'migurot shamayim v'lo et ha'otzarot shel itzim. Okay, it doesn't include the tanks of water that you would use to fill up the bathhouse with.
That's pretty essential.
Right, which does seem kind of essential. Or the otzarot, you had these otzarot filled with trees, wood, thank you. Filled with wood in order to create the fire, right, to warm up the water. So they're saying that stuff, those are storehouses that are separate, okay? So you might say they're pretty basic, but they're storehouses that you use to store up your stuff. Maybe you want to build a new merchatz and use that stuff for your merchatz. So if I say I'm selling my bathhouse, it doesn't include the storehouses that are alongside it. They're not even in the bathhouse, right? They seem to be, you know, next door maybe there's some big water container that's collecting the water, etc. Tana Rabbanan, ha-mocher et ha-merchatz, machar et beit ha-nesarim, ve-et beit ha-yikamim, ve-et beit ha-sfalim, ve-et beit ha-vilaot. Here now we say that if you sell the merchatz, it actually includes the storeroom, okay? Now here we're assuming that this is a storeroom and not like a separate house, but it includes inside you had a storage room. Your storage room, you have one for all the nisarim, for the boards that you would keep on the floor. You had one for the beit ha-yikamim, okay? This is for the all the implements, okay? They say yikamim or implements. Again, they're not exactly sure where this comes from. Some people say it comes from this Greek word which means oven or furnace. And it's possible that it's referring to a portable oven. And they had a room where they would keep like a portable oven, apparently,
like
in order to heat the water. Right, like I said, well, right. Except it was a type of heater to heat the water. So
this one gives turbans.
It includes the bit, what?
This one gives turbans, the things you wrap, towels to wrap around your head.
Ah, so right, that's another interpretation, that it's for the turbans, okay? Then it would go a little better because it's for, then that would go with the accessories. There were these turbans people wrap around their heads, right? Like a towel people wrap to dry their hair. Ve'et beit ha-sfalim, and the house for all the basins, where people would wash with the basins. And the beit ha-vilaot. Okay, this is for the curtains, okay? Assuming that means curtains.
Okay.
What does it say there it means?
Towels.
Okay, so it could mean towels. Right, vilaot sounds like vilonot, right? That's where they get curtains from. So now we're assuming, right, I have to imagine, I can't say for sure, but that the place where you stored the water and the etzim, the wood, that was maybe like a separate house. But according to this braita, there were these storerooms for smaller items that were inside your beit ha-merchatz, and that's included in your sale, but just the rooms themselves. Aval lo et ha-nisarim atzman, v'lo yikamin atzman, v'lo sfalim atzman, v'lo vilaot atzman. But not all the accessories, okay? All those little things are not included. Ubizman sha'amar lo hu v'choma shebetocha, harei kulam mechurim. But again, if you said the beit ha-merchatz and everything inside, then everything's sold. Ben kach u'ben kach, but either which way, lo machar lo et ha-brechot ha-mesapkot lo mayim, ben b'yimot ha-chama u'b'yimot ha-gshamim. Okay, what's the difference between yimot ha-chama and yimot ha-gshamim? The water level, right? The water level in yimot ha-gshamim is obviously much higher. So either which way, if he has these pools over there collecting water, he certainly isn't selling those. Below Beit Kinus Ha'itzim. Okay, so this fits with the Mishnah that it's not going to include the place where they store the wood. V'imamar lo, Beit HaMerchatz v'chol tashmishav ani mocher lecha, then kulam mechurim. Okay, but if he uses the word, not if he says, right, v'chol ma shebitocha, because again, that's why I think it's more convincing what I was saying. Kol ma shebitocha is whatever's inside this bathhouse itself. Okay, which would then include all the storerooms and all the items of the storerooms, but not the stuff that's outside where they were collecting water and the storage house for the wood. Okay? But if he said specifically the Beit HaMerchatz and all the Tashmishat, everything that serves this bathhouse, then it would include the storehouses for the water and the, you know, the pools and the storehouses for the wood. Okay, stop here.